This is a Triple J podcast.
What is it like to be both celebrated and condemned? To be held up as an inspiration by some and accused of hate by others? To be awarded some country's highest honours while leaders of other countries are calling for your resignation? Well, this week's guest has an idea, because over the past few years, she's dealt with this on a global scale, but she's always maintained she's just doing her job. I'm Dave Marchese. This is Hack's Long Listen of the Week, a chat with UN Special Rapporteur on the Occupied Palestinian Territories, Francesca Albanese. When it comes to her work, Francesca Albanese is unapologetic in her mission. As a UN Special Rapporteur, her job is to investigate, monitor, and report on human rights. But often over the past few years, while she's been speaking about Gaza, she has become the headline. She was one of the first to accuse Israel of genocide in Gaza, an allegation Israel denies. Israel accused her of anti-Semitism, an allegation Ms. Albanese denies. She became the first UN official in history to be sanctioned by the United States, a punishment she shares with people like Vladimir Putin, Bashar al-Assad, and Nicolas Maduro. But when I caught up with her, a judge in the US had just blocked those sanctions against Francesca Albanese, saying she's done nothing more than speak.
There should have been an upheaval, including in the US, among scholars, among legal experts.
In this chat, we talk about Ms. Albanese's book, where she reveals her backstory alongside the stories of others who shaped her understanding of her work.
There is an awakening, and Gaza has ignited a sense of dismay.
We talk about the impacts of having such a public role, what scares her, and why she believes young people can save the world.
To understand that by sticking together, by supporting each other for what is just, they can make it.
Look, despite some tech issues and dodgy internet that interrupted us from time to time, I really did find this interview surprisingly optimistic. So here it is, my chat with UN Special Rapporteur Francesca Albanese about her new book, When the World Sleeps: Stories, Words and Wounds of Palestine. Francesca Albanese, welcome to Hack.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Hello, Australia.
For the past year, you've been living under sanctions imposed on you by the Trump administration. They've stopped you from going to the United States. They've stopped you from banking there. But a federal judge in the US has now blocked those sanctions, saying they violated your free speech rights. I'm wondering how you feel about that.
I feel relieved. And at the same time, I know that for me, for the way I am, this is not over, because this has never been only a personal battle. There are ICC prosecutors in the same situation I am. They've been sanctioned for doing exactly their job. I'm so grateful to my family to have convinced me as well that and supported me, because it was very onerous, and all the friends who have supported us to believe in justice.
I mean, you write about the impacts of the sanctions in your book, and you say you were the first UN official in history to receive such a sanction, which technically, I mean, prohibits your daughter, an American citizen, from engaging with you. What kind of impact has that had on your life?
The sanctions mean that no US person can provide any good and service, lest facing 20 years in jail and fines up to $1 million. So had my family members decided to observe strictly this regime, I would have been screwed for real. Mm. So I've counted on the solidarity of my family. And the other thing is that the chilling effect of the sanctions has been phenomenal. What I didn't appreciate was the silence of so many. There should have been an upheaval, including in the US, among scholars, among legal experts. And there has been in some quarters, but there's been also a lot of partisanship.
Francesca Albanese, you've spent your time in your role as Special Rapporteur deflecting attention away from your story and your life and focusing it on Palestinians, on Gaza, on the West Bank. But there is a lot of interest in you as a person, especially with young people around the world, I think. There are a lot of people that look up to you as a person. And in this book, you offer some insight into your life. What have the past couple of years been like for you personally? You've been scared or you've wanted to give up?
Of course, I'm always scared. I'm always scared. I see how this system works. And at the same time, you know, I often think, and this book was written for, especially young people who need to believe in justice, who need to understand that by sticking together, by supporting each other for what is just, they can make it. And the solidarity is an absolute value that I believe in. I said in the beginning, I was surprised. I would have appreciated more courage by people with a position, with a public voice. But at the same time, I've seen so many coming forward from all corners to stand by me.
Francesca, you've copped a lot of criticism over these past few years, even over the past few months. France's foreign minister accused you of targeting Israel as a people and as a nation, saying that you called Israel the common enemy of humanity. You did not say that. And groups like Amnesty International condemned European officials for claiming that you did. I am wondering, though, what is it like being constantly accused of hatred and accused of anti-Semitism?
It is not nice, and I will get back to it. But I also want to point to something. So the Minister of Foreign Affairs of France, he said something, he accused me for something that I never said. This is so preposterous and so arrogant. And again, I'm very happy to have seen, in France, a lot of reaction from the media, from the legal community, from civil society, even people who wouldn't necessarily speak out on issues concerning Palestine. I've been appalled by this. And we should talk of these toxicity in politics. They are not held accountable and they keep going. Going back to the other part of your question, it's awful. It's been awful to be accused of anti-Semitism until the moment I realized what the accusation means. Today, anti-Semitism, which is still alive and kicking, but anti-Semitism doesn't mean anymore in some circles what it means, meaning hatred against Semite people or Jewish people. Today, anti-Semitism is conceived by some as indisposition or criticism of the state of Israel, as if Israel, for some reason, for its proclaimed religion, could be above the law. Does it not deserve scrutiny? So, it still pains me to be associated by some to anti-Semitism, but I've been surrounded by so many Jewish organizations and Jewish scholars themselves and Israelis who say, keep doing what we're doing.
Francesca, I'm wondering why you decided to write this book, because in the book you tell your story alongside the story of others who've shaped your understanding of Palestinians and of your work. Why did you think this was important?
Yeah, first of all, this book has been really cathartic for me to write because there are two things. On the one hand, I love the reports I managed to write. However, it's impossible to bring in reports that are 9,000 words long, the life and the human dimension that is behind these violations. So there was this need of telling a human story also because I've been such a privileged traveler across Palestine, as someone who worked there as a UN official and then as a scholar. And the other thing is that it was very cathartic to write this book while I was carrying out the investigation on businesses involved in the occupation and in the economy of occupation, which turned into economy of genocide. And it was very consuming, and I felt completely exhausted by the kind of investigation, me and my team. I had a great team supporting me, but it was beautiful and rehumanizing to write that. I was very happy to see that people have loved it. They loved it. It became a bestseller.
You talk about impartiality, and I thought that was really interesting because you're constantly being accused of not being impartial or lacking impartiality.
Being impartial doesn't mean not recognizing the asymmetry of power between the two. So for me, impartiality is looking at the facts, brought before me objectively, studying them, verifying them, corroborating them, which is something I absolutely do, and including by sharing all my findings with Israel. And Israel never replies, never replies. They only smear me once the reports have come out accusing me of anti-Semitism and supporting terrorism. Why don't they engage with me and correct what is factually wrong according to their assessment when they have an opportunity? And so, you see, impartiality is to look at the facts and, because as a legal expert, I have to use international law and assess them according to international law. This is what it is and this is what I do.
There's been a lot of talk, Francesca Albanese, about international law this year specifically, and some people have suggested it means nothing. What is the point of these international laws when it feels like this old order does mean very little, that we've entered this new era in the world where the rules are meaningless? What do you say to that?
That's so naive and defeatist. And I understand, but the question is, do you really believe, guys, that we lived in Wonderland? Have you seen how indigenous people live in your own country? Do you know in Australia the story of Aboriginal civilization because of colonialism and settler colonialism? No, we do not live in an ideal world. It's a very unequal and very unjust world. And today with Palestine, we find ourselves in front of a mirror. This is giving a sense of urge to change this and to fight for a more equal, more dignified, less double standard-led world. So the response to all these should be humanity, recognizing each other as part of a human family. And it's beyond rhetorical. Human rights are very important. Human rights are what allow us to protect ourselves in front, within a state, in front of the law.
Do you think the world is getting better or worse at understanding human rights?
I think it's getting better. This is why I've not been teaching in the past 2 years, but I've had a lot of many lectures. And in each I say, look, there is an awakening. And Gaza has ignited a sense of dismay.
A lot of people, a lot of young people, young Australians look up to you as a role model. I'm wondering, who do you look up to, Francesca Albanese?
Oh, so many young people. And then look at the Palestinians who remain loving and kind. They keep on thinking when Palestine will be free, which doesn't mean imagining the extinction of the Israelis. No, but living in a place where it doesn't matter if it's one state or two states, everyone live free.
A lot of young people do struggle with feeling hopeless about the state of the world. And I remember I spoke with you 1 year ago and you were very positive about not only the future for both Palestinians and Jewish people in the world, but humanity generally. What's your advice to those who are feeling unsure or unscared, those young people who are really uncertain about the world they're inheriting?
This is a time that is testing our capacity to stand together as humanity for a better world. It sounds rhetorical, but in fact, it has a very practical meaning and resonance. Together, we will make it. I promise. Trust me, I am someone who holds her promises.
Francesca Albanese, UN Special Rapporteur, thank you very much for speaking with us on Hack.
Bye-bye, everyone. Bye.
Apologies again for the dodgy internet. There was quite a bit of other stuff, of good stuff that she said that didn't make it because, yeah, it was a bit chaotic, that internet connection from North Africa. But we got there in the end. And if you did like that chat with Francesca Albanese, subscribe to this podcast because we do have big interviews like this dropping every single week. You can also follow us on socials at Triple J Hack on Instagram and TikTok. And Francesca Albanese's book, When the World Sleeps, is available now in English, and it really is a very immersive read. That is all for now. I'll catch you next time.